Tarry here, where the stories never grow old, and you hear something new every time they are told and it comes clear. So tarry here, where it doesn't matter your age, and when we gather round the table, we all take the stage year after year. So tarry here.
Welcome to the Enlightened Radio Storytelling Hour at enlightenedradio.org. I'm Fanny Crawford.
And I'm Stash Ziolkowski.
And our theme today is the Griot's Storybook from the Griot's Circle of Maryland. Today is Monday, May 29th, 2023. How are you, Stash?
I'm fine. Had a lovely weekend and very relaxing. And I got a number of WhatsApp. WhatsApp is a thing that you can communicate with people. My daughter is in Germany. My youngest daughter, Mara, she was sent a round trip ticket by the young man who was a three-year-old, and she was his au pair.
Wow.
She graduated from college and went to Germany and took care of him for many months, I think for 7 or 8 months, and traveled with his family, and they were really good to her, and they really enjoyed having her, and she and Dennis got along wonderfully. And she has visited them, and the family has actually visited her here in the States. And I got to meet them. They really appreciated her work with Dennis, her caring for him. And so they invited her to his wedding. He invited her to his wedding, which took place yesterday. And sent her a prepaid round trip ticket from Baltimore to Iceland to Frankfurt. And then she was picked up at the airport, and she'll be coming home in a couple of days. She's been there for, I think she's been there for 1 week already, and she's going to be there until for a couple more days. And, she was very excited about it, and she suggested I get this WhatsApp, and it was nice because even before she left, we exchanged some information on that app, and it was nice to be able to communicate with her, and she sent me a couple of pictures, nice picture of her and a dog named Spike in the, you know, through the through that app. Which I think is really cool.
Had she seen him since he was a child?
Oh yeah, she saw him a couple of times. Yeah, and she's been in close contact with him. So this was good for her because she hadn't been there for a while. She was there actually about maybe a year ago. She was there with her husband and her son, my grandson, John. And that was to go to a 50th birthday party, a friend that she made when she was in the ninth grade at Westminster High School. A little girl was in the ninth grade. Her father was here in America on a sabbatical for a year, and they lived right near Westminster High School. And these two tiny ninth graders on the first day of school, 1987, met and became great friends. And that friendship has continued to this very day. And last year they invited her and the family to the 50th birthday party for Kristen, and they had a wonderful time there. So, and this is good because, yeah, she gets to practice her German. Mara is fluent in German and Spanish and French, and so anytime she gets a chance to use her expertise in those languages, this is a treat. And she's taught two of those languages in schools, you know. So I think it's wonderful. I look forward to seeing pictures and hearing stories about them. They're a wonderful family.
Great. Yeah. Okay, I did want to thank Andy Offit Irwin for opening our show. Great. And I guess this is a good time to push Andy's performance on June 26th at Stories in the Round here in Hagerstown. I did not say that we are broadcasting enlightenradio.org from Hagerstown, Maryland, Bolivar, West Virginia, and Martinsburg, West Virginia, but we are.
Yes,
Andy will be here in Hagerstown that whole weekend and performing at the church on Monday, the 26th of June.
Okay, and can you give me a time check?
Yes, I have 6 minutes and, well, exactly 5 minutes right now.
5 minutes?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
You're welcome. I love our little time checks.
There you go.
Little blast of reality while we're telling fairy tales.
Time checks. If you say that and don't mean it about a clock or a wristwatch or something, it sounds like a funny word. You know. Time check.
It sounds like a Polish word.
Yeah, it does. You know, it's like a rain check. You know? Who checks the rain?
I just read something about Polish names, or I'll have to remember what it was. I meant to share it with you, but it's gone. I'll have to think about it some more.
But I every time I go to a doctor, except, well, not every time anymore, because my one doctor, the doctor I go to, the surgeon I've gone to, who replaced my hips and my left shoulder, you know, with the devices, his office has made a practice of asking what a person wants to be called, you know, instead of them, you know, using their full name or this or that. If you have a nickname, they have it recorded. And so the last couple of times I've seen the surgeon, the nurse comes out and says, "Stosh," and I immediately get up. But normally, in all the other doctor's offices, even though I've gone there more than once, and I have a number of different medical experts that I see, I sit in the waiting room after I've checked in, and I'll notice the door open, and there will be a young woman, and she will have papers in her hand, and she will be looking at the papers, and then she looks up, and I immediately stand up and say, "I'm here." She says, and I say, "I'm Ziolkowski or Stanislaus, right here." And they always are very grateful, because even though my name is actually, it's easy to pronounce if you understand just syllables.
It's it's the Z. Just having a name that begins with Z throws Americans off.
I know.
It's so unusual.
It's, you know, and I have a couple times I have said, you know, if you just pronounce the four syllables, the Ziolkowski, it comes out, you know.
It took me several meetings with you, several months before I had it down.
I know, it's a shame.
And I consider myself multilingual, obviously. I'm not.
I know, you know, when I taught the elementary school twice, for a total of 9 years, two different schools. And I taught the youngest children that I taught were first graders. And once I did a special class of storytelling with kindergarten. And I had them, I taught them to say my name by writing on the chalkboard a sentence. I wrote C-S-E-E, all, and a picture of a cow that I got out of a magazine and taped it to the board, and skis. So I have a picture of skis on the board. I said to the kids, this is it. See all cows skis. And the kindergarten teacher was so impressed when she came to pick up her kids. And I said, I would like you to hear what your children can say, how they say my name. And I said, class, would you please tell your teacher how to pronounce my name? And they loved it because we practiced it. And I said, see all cowskis. And then some of them made remarks like, it's funny because he's got a picture of a cow skiing and all this. Oh, it was great. I actually got some, what's that word? Kudos from some of the teachers because they said they wished they had thought of that so they could teach the kids in their class.
A highlight of your teaching career.
Just one of two, I think.
Okay. You can you tell us about the Speak Story series?
I can. It's coming up, and it's in June, June 13th and 14th. Reverend Robert Jones. Too bad we're not visible over the radio waves, but that's okay. Reverend Robert Jones, a remarkable storyteller and quite a nice-looking man. We have a picture of him in our brochure for Speak this year, and he's a picture of him in a coat and tie and smiling, and he's got a guitar in front of him. And he is a musician. He tells the history of America through his music and his storytelling. And he does spirituals and gospel singing and country blues guitar. And we are really looking forward to that. Tuesday, June 13th, Wednesday, June 14th, in person at the Shepherdstown Opera House.
No Zoom?
And there will be a Zoom on the 13th.
Okay.
Tuesday the 13th will be Zoom. On the 14th, there will not be a Zoom thing. So go to speakstoryseries.com. And you can get all the information. You can get tickets. You could even get a chance if you want to donate to the program to help us continue to bring great storytellers from all over the country and from foreign countries too. We've done a number of them in the last couple of years. And I think it's going to be a great June storytelling session. And June is going to be a great month because then we have the workshop with Andy Offit Irwin that you're hosting, and I'll get to see some of the storytellers that I've known for a number of years, and it'll be very pleasant since it'll be at your home in Hagerstown, which is always a wonderful place to visit.
Okay. You're just reminding me of everything I need to do before that. Okay.
You have a whole month.
27 days and counting. Okay, I'm going to start with a story. Is that okay?
That's fine. I'm glad you did say that.
Okay. So this is my Stories in the Round Rio Storybook session recap. This is my sharing about my version of what happened this past Monday at Stories in the Round. You know, I'm always a bit stressed, frazzled, discombobulated hosting this monthly event for Stories in the Round. I always have a vision of how The evening should all play out, and my expectations never quite match the reality. But generally, the actual event comes off much better than I could have engineered myself. The audience is always wonderful, full of happy anticipation and warm enthusiasm for the tellers. And of course, the tellers themselves are pros, every single one, happy to be there and eager to perform. So I really don't know why I get myself strung out. But this past Monday, I was really conscious of probably communicating my anxiety. And I was beating myself up about that too. In this case, this past week, we had three storytellers this time, plus a drummer and a couple helpers from the participating organizations who were coming to help with logistics particular to this session. Three carloads coming from Baltimore. So part of my anxiety was about everybody finding their way. We do have a Stories in the Round big 3-foot sign out front at the top of the driveway for the church on story nights. But I ended up standing out on the highway for about 10 minutes to make sure all three cars found us okay. They were all coming separately at slightly different times. And that all worked out too. Thank goodness for cell phones and Siri's roadway directions. live. And then I was immediately able to refortify myself because Melanie Fouché brought desserts to share, as she does almost every session. We always have a bit of fresh fruit, and our resident baker, Melanie Fouché, brings a sample of her amazing desserts. And this time she made chocolate chip muffins and lemon poppy seed scones that were out of this world. They were really good, and I ate way more than my share. But these
they were delicious.
They were delicious. I wish I still had one. So the three tellers this time, representing the Griot Circle of Maryland and the brand new Black Storytellers of Western Maryland, the BSOWM. The Griot Circle is already an affiliate of NAPS, the National Association of Black Storytellers. In fact, the Griot Circle claims the title of first affiliate in the nation among the 14 or 15 chapters. Or they're not really called chapters, they're called NABS affiliates across the country. Mama Linda Goss, who was co-founder of NABS with Mother Mary Carter Smith, was also a member of the Griot Circle at that time that NABS was founded. And the Black Storytellers of Western Maryland has already stated their intention to become a full affiliate of NAPS, but there are requirements to be met, including a 2-year period to build up membership. Now, the impetus for these two organizations partnering to produce this particular session of Stories in the Round was, first of all, to celebrate the formation of this new association, and to celebrate the new publication of their sister organization. It's the first ever Griot's Storybook. And I know, Stash, you're going to talk more about that when it's your turn to tell a story. It's subtitled An Anthology, Storytelling Insights, Short Stories, Poetry, Words of Wisdom, African Facts and Proverbs. And there's a bonus section of favorite recipes of Griot Circle members. This was the first publication of a Maryland-wide storytellers anthology. As far as we know, there's never been another Maryland publication like this. So there were three tellers: Grandmother Edna Lawrence Williams, D. Lynn Distance, representing the Griot Circle, both from Baltimore, and Patricia Smart, co-founder of the New Black Storytellers of Western Maryland, who was the MC for the evening and told a wonderful story herself. But in my opinion, the star of the show may have been a fourth performer, Ishaka Ray Hannibal L., a drummer from Baltimore who opened the show with a 5-minute demonstration of calling the community together. And as Patricia says, we always start with the drums so that everyone knows something wonderful is about to happen. Patricia gave us a brief introduction displaying the Griot Circle storybook and announcing this special drawing to award some lucky member of the audience their own copy of the anthology. And she introduced the tellers and the helpers from the Griot Circle. And then Lynn Distance was up first with a traditional African-American folktale, Shiver and Shake, but updated with her own description of the plotline set within her own family, ending with a surprise ending that had the audience hooting and hollering, even if a few people had heard the story in some other version and thought they knew what would happen next. Forget it. I don't think anybody expected that particular denouement at the end. Patricia herself was up next as teller, and she shared an original story, The Blessed Rock, about a beautiful woman arriving and greeting a crowd at a community picnic, a family reunion of sorts with music and good food, and a dozen children playing nearby. This beautiful woman is welcomed by the crowd, but challenged by one particular woman who wants to know why this newcomer is crashing their celebration. So the beautiful woman tells a story of love and loss with a surprise ending that establishes her bona fides and her right to be present at this homecoming. So there were lots of ohs and ahs at the end of that story. Grandmother Edna Williams closed out the show with a double performance. She read with great emotional depth and a bit of commentary from the collected works of Langston Hughes, his poem, The Negro Mother, relating the descriptions and the history contained there to her own experience as a mother and community activist in Baltimore and a bit about her experiences around the country. And then she presented one of her famous handmade quilts to the audience, showed it off, dedicated to Langston Hughes, and shared a bit of her work with children and women in Baltimore and around the U.S. Grandma Edna ended with a challenge to her listeners to research and answer this question. In the year 1959, in what city and state did no student graduate from high school? Well, there were some shout outs, some guesses, or people who really thought they knew the answer, but the answer was finally forthcoming. The actual correct answer was actual forthcoming before the end of the evening, Little Rock, Arkansas, during that white backlash period following the Supreme Court decision, Brown versus Board of Education, when Little Rock, Arkansas closed all its public schools for a full year. Now, the evening was a success on all counts, including sales of the Griot storybook to audience members beyond the expectations of the helpers. Eslyn Hinman and her cousin Joyce were organizing sales, and they also organized the drawing that awarded a celebratory copy of the book to Hagerstown resident Andrea Naruzzi, who was in the audience that evening. And the performers were surrounded at the end by well-wishers and congratulatory hugs from the audience. And my best wishes came true when I heard from more than half the audience that they planned to be in the room for Andy Offutt Irwin's appearance at Stories in the Round on June 26th next month. I think everyone went home happy, including me.
Right. Good. It's always good to keep Fanny happy.
Well, so that's what my husband says, yes.
Yeah, well, that's what he told me too.
And since you're my story husband, yeah, that works well.
So that was, it was a great presentation of what took place last Monday. It really was a wonderful performance, and every time I have seen any of the storytellers from the Griots circle or from NABS, and I haven't gone to any performances by their group, but I have seen them when I taught in Baltimore at a private school there. They brought storytellers came from NABS a number of times. I got to meet Mary Carter Smith, who was just phenomenal. And she even received a story of mine that I had written, and I asked her if she had the time and if she would read that story and give me a sense of what it was, whether it was a good story or not. And she did that, and we had a long phone conversation after she read that story and praised it far more than I thought it would ever happen. And anyway, that was very nice for me. It felt like somebody giving me a good pat on the back, even though it was a telephone call.
That's nice.
So,
yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, it was very nice.
I think you maybe had a question for me about my recap.
The question is, did you invite the drummer separately, or did you know the drummer was going to be there ahead of time?
I did not think much about the drummer. We did a session similar to this one in Baltimore the end of April. We did a session at Cathedral Street Library, the main library in Baltimore. And those same tellers. And I did a bit of T.H. Barnes visiting Baltimore in 1942. And the drummer, Hannibal L., was there for that. And I have heard him before. He's an excellent drummer for that kind of thing. He's wonderful. He engages the audience and attends to the other performers, to the storytellers, and he's funny when he gets to talk. He didn't get to talk this time, except afterwards to the audience one on one. So it had occurred to me that those particular tellers like to have a drummer with them, and they had worked with him before. I think Grandmother Edna Williams actually invited him. She's the main contact for him, I think. So I didn't know that he was coming, but when it occurred to me early in the process of organizing this session, I did think about it, but I hadn't thought about it again. So I did not know that he was coming for sure. But it really does change the room. It really makes a difference to the performance to have a drummer there. And most certainly at NABS festivals and conferences, and often at the Griot Circle, there's a drummer. That's something that most people want. It does make it much more celebratory. And of course, it's traditional for African and African-American celebrations.
I thought it was wonderful. I thought he was a great drummer.
He's good.
My brother, Tony, who's still kicking and will be 85 this month. He'll be 85 during Andy's workshop. And he was a drummer. When I was a teenager and I was into music, and I had a small combo, my brother played in a band, and he was well known in the area for his drumming. And it was the days when at dances and things, they would hire a band, generally four or five instruments, and they would play good, popular music net. And there was a thing that went on that I don't think goes on nowadays. I haven't seen it any place in a long time. Of course, I haven't gone to any teen dances in a long time. I appreciate that smile. But, you know, in the middle of a performance, the drummer would take over. And it would be, sometimes it seemed like it was 15 minutes, but it probably was only 5 or 6 minutes of intense solo drumming. And it was one of the things my brother did so well and got to be known for. So, you know, I was always very proud of him. I liked playing the drums too, but I never did it for any of any time of consequence because I wasn't a real drummer. I just like to pick it up once in a while. So anyway, and I have another question for you. This just since there is a Black Storytellers of Western Maryland.
Yes.
Are you a member of them?
Not yet. I intend to join. I have promised to join. I just haven't made it happen. They had their first public appearance last Saturday at the Hagerstown Main Library, and then the Monday performance was their second ever public appearance. And I think they've been officially open for business for about a month. And Mama Linda Goss of NABS, National Association of Black Storytellers fame, and also of the Baltimore Griots, although she has lived in Philadelphia, she's in Philadelphia right now and has lived there a large part of her life. So she was part of the founding also.
Right.
But so they're brand new, but they're just getting started.
Wow. Well, that's good.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I wish them well. And I look forward to...
You will be hearing more from them, for sure.
I'm sure. So that's wonderful. And I was impressed. The entire program was really well done. I was fascinated. The drummer became part of the props later in the program when and I'm bad on names, especially when the lady was reading about Langston Hughes, the drummer stood
and held her quilt
and it did not sag or vibrate or wiggle at all. I was impressed with that because I thought I kept thinking, I wonder if he has a stick that is holding that up, that he's holding, but he was using his two hands to hold that. And it was very nice, you know.
Yeah. Jose also commented on that. Somebody behind the scenes, both of you, I'm sure, from your time helping other tellers are aware of, you know, being asked to do unusual things and carrying them out to the teller's satisfaction.
Yes.
And, both you know, of you commented on that. But Hannibal definitely takes care of himself in terms of strength training. Whenever he takes a break and is not drumming, you can see him exercising. He's stretching his arm muscles and working on his back. So he's aware of what it takes to maintain his skills.
Well, and I would like to present, I don't know if that's the right word. I would like to read something from the book that I was glad to get a copy of this book, and I've read almost all of it. I don't think I haven't just skipped through it. It's been right here by my chair where I spend a lot of time. And there is something written in the book by a man that I got to meet a number of times, meant more than a number of times. I taught his daughter, and I became friends with his wife, who was a member of the Griot Circle. And I think is the president of the Griot Circle in Baltimore, Karen Burnell.
She's the past president, yeah.
Past president, okay. And she and I did storytelling together, where we both worked at the Calvert School in Baltimore. She was a librarian, and I taught science first through sixth grade. She and I did some storytelling programs with the kids, and she also did a wonderful job of telling a story that I wrote while my drama club, the children made masks of animals. There were only two human creatures in the story. One was a little girl, and the other was an old man who was almost ancient. And all the kids, I had over 50 kids in my drama club, and each of the kids made a mask to represent a different animal. There were many animals in the story, and also things. And Karen told the story standing on the side near the piano, because we had music by one of the women who worked at the school, and the kids performed to her words. There was even an alligator that crawled and actually crawled across the stage, you know, in full costume, and did a great job. I can just close my eyes and think alligator and or crocodile, and I could see that jaw opening and closing, which really impressed the students. So I'm going to read what Jack Burnell wrote about his wife, but was not, just doesn't say about his wife. Anyway, this is what it is. Beautiful brown-skinned woman. Brown-skinned woman, you brighten my day as you help me along my way. Brown-skinned woman, your hands are gentle but strong. Beautiful brown-skinned lady, I love everything about you. That includes the differences that you possess. My favorite line in the entire thing. Brown-skinned woman, I love your hair each time you find a way to express yourself. You are not afraid to change with your mood. I love the hues and shades of your pigmented skin. Beautiful colored skin woman, you come from every corner, every alley, every valley, every mountain, and every part of this planet. In the winter, when the cool air finds every crack and unblocked seam, and you do not want to leave the warmth of the covers, your energy flows to me and pushes me into my day. The hot summer sun, coupled with the rich humidity, brings a glaze to the skin which highlights all of the different shades of your beautiful skin. The sun strikes differently in everyone's eyes. So how refreshing it is to share an iced tea or even a glass of wine as the sun's last rays of the day reflect in your eyes. I love to look at your hands folded or at work, whether you are kneading dough, picking up a child, or raking soil in the garden. I love to see your hands reaching out to show caring, strength, and determination. I also loved to see them open and stretched out as you admire them after you have been treated to a manicure. Your feet, like your hands, bring another view of your inner feelings, showing the contrast in the colors of your complexion. Your feet, like your hands, show the dichotomy of your life's journey. They endured the struggles of the day and still show the beauty of your foundation. Beautiful brown-skinned woman, always remember you are appreciated and adored for what you do and who you are. You provide strength and soothe my soul. Peace and blessings, Jack. I think that's wonderful.
It is wonderful. It's lovely.
Mr. Burdenell was very nice.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever met Mr. Burdenell.
Yeah, he was a wonderful, wonderful father who I got to teach their oldest daughter at that school and met him on a number of occasions. And he was a very, very nice man. Extremely proud of his wife and his children. And I'm sorry that I made a couple of mistakes in reading that.
I would not know that.
Thanks.
So you're enjoying the anthology.
Oh, very much so. And a number of different things in here. What it said on the book, words of wisdom, some poetry, and the recipes.
Yeah.
which you are in there with also.
Yeah, I have my father's Hop and John recipe in there. Right.
And there's even a story about your dad.
Yeah, from Gene Waits. That's not even my story.
I know. I was amazed when I was reading through it. I said, whoa.
Gene,
wait a minute, that's Fanny's dad.
Gene went to my high school. She was 2 years ahead of me in high school, and she knew my dad before she knew that I was his daughter. So Wow. She came after I had left home. I guess I was either in college or soon after that. She came to my house for a meeting with my dad. I had a bunch of other people, and she saw my photograph there and said, I know that girl. She's from my high school. And actually she was already, even before we connected, because she was older than me, you know, I knew her face, but I didn't know anything about her. She was ahead of me in school. And, she called my dad, she called herself my dad's other daughter.
Well, yeah.
Which it was really nice. Kind of a shock to me.
Right.
So we always laugh about that. And we're still in touch. So she joined, even though she lives in Philadelphia, and there is a NABS affiliate in Philadelphia, Keepers of the Culture is the Rios group there. Jean attended a Zoom session where I told us the story of my parents' dining room walls that my dad had decorated with posters for 10 years and more than a decade. And when they moved out of that house, the Philadelphia Folklore Project had heard about this folk art, as they called it, that my dad had created on their dining room walls. And they took the walls down. They rolled up the plaster, the old horsehair plaster, with all the wallpaper underneath, and moved all of that archival material to the Philadelphia Folklore Project conference room. And if you go to the Philadelphia Folklore Project off of Baltimore Avenue in West Philadelphia, you can see my parents' dining room recreated with their kitchen table, and then two red kitchen vinyl chairs are still there in that conference room. It's always a hoot for me to go there and visit them. In fact, when I tell my next little story, there's a little reference to that in there. Anyway, Jean came on Zoom to hear me tell that story. And soon after that, she joined the Griot Circle herself. So she's a member. We have several long distance members who live in other places. I think Charlotte Alston Blake Alston, I think, is another member from Philadelphia. Big time story time.
Do you see this?
Yes.
Yes. Is there something wrong with your left hand?
I have a blue glove on my left hand because I we're on Zoom, listeners. So Sash can see me. And I've been waving my hands around all through my storytelling, but this is the first he's mentioned that I have a blue rubber glove on my hand, because when I was making a stew the night before last, I couldn't find my favorite peeler, my potato peeler. And I think I gave it away because I have another one and I was using the other one, but it's not nearly as easy to use. And I whacked half of a fingernail off with my second best potato peeler and gave myself another cut on my thumb. So I'm keeping two fingers bandaged. And because I'm in water all day long out in the garden and washing dishes and cleaning up things, messes, I am wearing a glove on my hand so I won't forget and get my Band-Aids wet.
This made me think of the Blue Man Group.
Yes, I can understand that.
Yeah.
Well, if I had a blue bodysuit, I might someday need that because I'm constantly gashing and bruising myself. Right.
Well, I'm glad that it wasn't a serious injury. That would...
Yes, and I'm glad it's my left hand.
Yeah.
All right. Is it okay if I tell it? Did you tell the story? Did you do what you wanted to do?
Yes.
Okay, I did. Do you have another piece?
I have another one if we have time.
Let me do this one real quick then.
Okay.
All right. So... this is just a little background, my personal experiences with NABS and the Griot Circle. I attended my first National Association of Black Storytellers Conference in 2015 in Washington, D.C., and it was a bit scary for me. This was the 34th annual conference for the association. I'd always aspired to become a member of NABS. Well, I can't say always, because the group was founded in 1982, and it didn't come to my attention until I first met NABS co-founder, Mama Linda Goss, in about 2005 or so, through the Philadelphia Folklore Project, where my parents were honored elders, as we just discussed a minute ago, as a result of having their dining room walls installed as the walls of the conference room at Philadelphia Folklore Project headquarters off Baltimore Avenue in West Philadelphia. But that's another story. And the then director of the Philadelphia Folklore Project, Deborah Kodish, introduced me to Mama Linda Goss, and I invited her to come to Hagerstown for Mama Linda to lead Martin Luther King Day service at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Hagerstown. Mama Linda arrived with her own drummer, not the same drummer we've been talking about earlier this morning or this afternoon, but a different drummer and a carload of musical instruments, as well as a series of stories and anecdotes and songs about Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement that knocked the socks off sleepy little Hagerstown. She really made a big impression at the church. So that's when I first learned about NABS. But then I dragged my feet. I was sure that I was not ready as a storyteller for such august company. I mean, Mama Linda still is a very powerful storyteller, and I just did not see myself in the same rankings. I did finally make it to my first NABS festival and conference in 2015 after meeting Mama Linda in about 2005. But I was pretty much dragged to that conference, even then, a decade later, by Adam Booth and Susan Gordon for a single evening concert of that week-long event. And that festival conference changed my life, as they say. I was already good friends with storyteller Diane Macklin of Baltimore, and she was a member of both the Griot Circle and of NABS. And she said, I was already a fine storyteller, but that didn't really matter. The members of NABS would welcome me, even as a baby teller, which she didn't think I was. But if that was what it took to get me there, she was all in favor and I should go for it. I finally became a member of NABS a year later at the 34th annual conference in 2016 in Philadelphia. I was there overnight that time. The conference was held at the Wyndham Hotel, right near the imposing Central Philadelphia Public Library, where I spent many hours growing up. But I spent my conference overnight at a small hotel on City Line Avenue, just a couple miles from the street where I grew up in West Philly, and a neighborhood that I knew pretty well. There are some highlights of that conference in my memory. The first one was, as I walked in, I saw Arthuretta Martin, another friend, right there at the registration table. And I knew Arthuretta from workshops, storytelling workshops in far western Maryland, West Virginia, with Eileen Evans, one of my story mentors. I have to say, we lost Arthuretta to COVID and related health conditions almost 2 years ago now. And it was a terrific blow to me and many other people who counted Arthuretta as a steadfast, no-nonsense, feet on the ground, all about the community, a wise woman. But this was 2016, before all that water under the bridge. And Arthuretta gave me a big hug right then and there at the registration table. And I knew I was home. Another highlight of that 2016 conference was the Growing Griots Youth Concert. Baltimore, the Maryland affiliate of NABS, calls their youth group Growing Griots. And many other cities, states across the country have other youth groups, but this was the National Youth Program that was emceed by Mitch Capel, who is both an incredible storyteller and a stand-up comic. He's on the nightclub circuit as well as the storytelling circuit. And he did one of his inimitable MC sessions on that Saturday night, November 5th, 2016. And there was a young lady, age 14, if I remember correctly, who told a story about giving up chocolate and subsequently having a crisis of identity as she daily watched her dark skin pigmentation wash away in the shower each morning. It was a really funny story. She brought down the house as she encouraged the audience to be sure they maintained their daily dietary requirement of chocolate so they could stay black. And as she left the stage with a handshake and a hug from Mitch, he riffed on his concern that he too was already way too light-skinned for a black man. And he planned to go right home and fix that now that he knew what the remedy was.
I know that name.
Mitch Capel? You heard Mitch tell it stories in the round twice. Yeah. He's been there twice. So I've attended every NABS conference since then, 2017 for the 35th in Cary, North Carolina in the Golden Triangle, 2018 for the 36th in Montgomery, Alabama, the 37th and the 38th annual conferences, those two on Zoom during the COVID pandemic, and finally back in person for the 40-year anniversary of NABS founding this past November, back where it all started, center of the universe, as they say, in Baltimore, with the Creo Circle of Miracles.
I didn't realize that Baltimore was the center of the universe.
That's what they say at almost every Creo Circle meeting.
No wonder I was born there.
That's right.
Yes. How about that? Okay. Well, I do not think I have this. I had another story, I was going to share, but I don't think I can get it done in 3 minutes.
Well, you could go a little bit over. We've done that before.
Okay. I'd like to do this because it's a fascinating story.
And, okay.
And I know I would never tell this. I don't know. I would have to give permission because it's a personal. It's a story written by one of the griots.
Oh, okay.
So,
but it's from the anthology. It's published.
So I think this is okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. There was a small village in Ghana, West Africa, with houses made of the deep brown clay from the earth and roofs made of thatch and bamboo from the forest. The yards around the houses always kept neat and clean with colorful flowers, vegetable gardens, and small chicken coops for the fowls. Just outside the village, there were large fields where there were many goats and a small herd of cows. Everyone worked for the common good, and they were blessed with many good and kind people. One day, the village drum maker decided to go in search of a special wood to make a drum that he wanted to present to the village at the harvest festival. He took his wife and child, 10-year-old Maya, on this journey with him because he wanted to explore an area that someone had told him about. It was several miles in a direction he had never been. He had to fight just, he had to find just the right tree. They had walked about 2 hours, marveled at things they saw, and they decided to stop and rest in the shade of a great baobab tree, also called the tree of life. Maya found just the perfect spot where the great knurled roots rose and curled and made just the perfect niche. She sat down, snuggled in, and soon was fast asleep. Her father was looking into the distance where he spied what seemed to be the stand of trees he had been told about. One could be perfect tree for the drum. Pointing to the stand of trees, he called to his wife to come with him. They started walking, staring at the beautiful group of trees. Walking hurriedly, they did not notice that the ground was changing. Before they realized what was happening, they had walked into quicksand. They struggled to get out, but the more they floundered, the quicker they sank into the sand. Maya woke to the sounds of her mother's screams and ran to help. Her father shouted to her, saying, "Stop, Maya. Stay right where you are." Of course, she obeyed at once. Her father explained to her what had happened and that they were too far into the quicksand for her to help them. They told her that they loved her very much and their love would always be around her. Her father then ordered her to run to the village. The elders would know what to do. Knowing she must obey her father, and with tears streaming down her face, she called to them, "I love you, Mama. I love you, Baba." Then she took a deep breath and turned and ran as fast as her legs could carry her, terror forcing her legs to move quicker and still until they looked like pistons propelling a locomotive. When she reached the village, everyone came running to see what was the matter. Maya tried to tell them, but only keening sounds would come out of her mouth. The best hunter in the village did not wait. He knew the direction the family had intended to go and set out to find what was wrong by following her tracks. Soon the hunter returned to tell them the sad story. Her grandmother took Maya into her home, but from that day on, Maya never spoke a word. She kept to herself most of the time. As she grew, she worked hard to please her grandmother, did what she was told, and everyone loved her. Sometimes, instead of playing with the other children, she would go to the bushes just outside the village and get berries and bark and other plants and use them to make different colors. Then she would draw designs in the dirt and color them. She knew how to do this because she and her mother used to make the colors just for fun. They used the paints to make designs on calabashes and then sell these beautiful gourds at the marketplace. If anyone came near, Maya would quickly cover what she had created with dirt, then store her colors and calabashes in her room. 8 years passed, and Maya grew into a fine young woman. She knew her grandmother was proud of her, but Maya wanted to do something special for this woman who had been so good to her all these years. She kept turning ideas over and over in her mind. Nothing seemed good enough. One morning, Maya rose early and started walking from the village, not noticing where she was going. Unexpectedly, a strange feeling came over her, and she looked up. There she was, under that same tree that had sheltered her that horrible day long ago. She went closer, spread her arms on the trunk of the tree, and the tears started falling as the memories flooded her mind. She cried silently, the tears falling onto the bark of the tree. Suddenly, she stopped. A voice spoke to her, and she knew it was coming from the tree. The tree of life. Maya, use your talent to create. Maya stood there in wonderment, for she could feel comfort and love surround her, enveloping her in the compassionate arms. She remembered what her mother and father had said to her and knew that they were there for her. She walked back, her mind, body energized, putting ideas together. She knew what had to be done and went straight to work, finding everything she needed for her very special present. By the next night, she was ready. As soon as she figured everyone had gone inside for the night, she crept outside and began painting. The full moon was her only witness. She painted quickly with a sure hand. When the sun began to peep over the horizon, Maya took her paints inside and hid them away. She was too excited to lie down, so she bathed, changed her clothes, and started fixing breakfast. As her grandmother was dressing, she heard shouting outside. She went to see what was happening. She was astonished. She could not believe her eyes. Her house was covered with the most beautiful shapes, designs, and colors. Her house looked like it had blossomed at the end of a rainbow. The grandmother looked around as the crowd oohed and aahed. She saw Maya standing there smiling. She went straight to Maya, took her in her arms, whispering, "Maya, my child, you have given me a most precious gift. Thank you, my sweet darling." Maya hugged her tightly and said the first words she had spoken in 8 years. "I love you, grandmother." Soon others wanted their houses painted, and Maya taught them the techniques of color and design. If you travel to the great continent of Africa, you can find painted houses in several countries. Now you know how it all began.
What a great story.
Super story by Felisco Keeling.
One of my favorite tellers. I'm going to end the show because we are over time. This is Fanny Crawford.
And Stash Diokowski.
Your co-hosts ending the Enlightened Radio Storytelling Hour at enlightenedradio.org. We're independent community radio broadcasting from Bolivar, West Virginia, Martinsburg, West Virginia, and Hagerstown, Maryland, offering a window into the world of storytelling by traditional and non-traditional tellers, encouraging you, our listening community, to share, preserve, and expand all of our stories. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for John Case next with...
Very smooth jazz.
Very
smooth. Glass like jazz. Okay.
Thank you, John.
Sounds great.
Great stories.
It does sound great.
Take care.
Thanks, Fanny. I thought we did a nice job on that.
It was a good show.
All right. Take care, pal. Everybody be good.